This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we're hanging out in Augusta. You heard us. Twin Peaks, 277 Robert C. Daniel Parkway. That's the physical address. And, Mike, it doesn't matter where we go. We're worldwide. People come see us, including friends who happen to be working the Masters, which is kind of cool, man. I met this brother at the arena one night when I was doing FanDuel, and we were doing Hawks, and he came up. Of course, Mike always mentions this when we run out, you know, run into right. people. They always assume that Mike and I are together all the time. So he literally was like, hey, where's Mike Bell? And I was like, oh, you know, he's at the house. And so he's working the Masters, but he came through just to say hello today. We've met so many interesting people. I know you were here a little bit earlier talking to people from all over the world.
Yeah, man, we got a couple from England. There was a guy from the south side of Chicago with a quintessential accent, Carl, who, by the way, I was busted his chops. He is wearing the soft spikes. And this is one, if you've listened to Dukes and Bell over the years, we always make fun of those guys because it's almost like, oh, you're wearing your soft spikes to the Masters. So I guess at some point on Thursday or Friday, Scotty Scheffler's going to say, hey, yeah, got about 240 out on 15. Why don't you come over and hit this one for me? You know, I mean, it's like I get it. Maybe if you got sneakers, you don't want to get dirty or muddy if it rains.
Yeah,
but, I
yeah.
mean, guys wearing, like, their foot joys to them. I always laugh. I'm like, really?
That's funny.
Okay, man, you gonna make that putt?
That's
gonna
funny.
You going to make that putt?
Hey, man, we're out here having a great time. Lots of stuff going on, including our break. Back to scoring some runs. They beat the Phillies last night, 7-5. Big return, man, for Sean Murphy. And Mike and I will get more into this with Grant McCauley, but that was great to see. And, you know, you talk about a spark. You kept saying yesterday, leading into this series, can somebody spark us? And I said,
right.
Listen, I told you guys weeks ago, I didn't know Sean Murphy would come back and have the night he had, but I do feel like over the course of the season, he's going to hit. Austin Riley, I believe in you. I think he's going to be fine, and he showed up last night. Money's been playing well. We just need to consistently see this lineup, Mike, up and down, not one or two guys, do the things that they're capable of doing. And so last night felt good, man, beating Wheeler.
Yep, and we talked about it earlier. Yeah, the Dodgers look like everybody's world beater. And all of a sudden, hey, the Dodgers have lost some games, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you know, it's a look. As you like to say, and everyone did say, and you predicted it's a long, long season. The Dodgers, by the way, find themselves, oh, they're in second place, 9-4.
Oh.
So it just, you gotta be able to see the big picture. But they do need to start hitting. And to see, you know, Austin Riley, you know, one was sort of a gift double, but the other one, he earned it. And you mentioned it, Sean Murphy. If he can hit the ground running, I never thought I'd say, thank God Sean Murphy's back. But I'll say, thank God Sean Murphy's back if he can keep it up.
No doubt. Lineup's out. We'll talk more about that. Hawks lose last night. But before we get to all of that, Mike, let's talk about the possibility of the Falcons moving from 15. Is it worth the risk? Because that's what we've been discussing. And guys, we had a great draft analyst on. You'll hear him in the 6 o'clock hour. Ryan Roberts stopped by, and he really had a great breakdown of the edge rushers, the offensive linemen. You'll get a chance to hear what he said. If, in fact, we are interested in all of this, he even talked about the corners and who he thinks are at the top of this draft. And by the way, I think these top corners will be available at 15. But is it worth the risk of moving down.
Now, again, I do more mock drafts than anybody, and I can tell you, it's hard.
You
because
are Mr. Mock.
I am the mockster. But it's hard because, you know, as we say, would these evaluations in the real world actually work? Would the Steelers? First things first, let's just say for argument's sake, Shedeur Sanders, all the hate is real.
Okay.
Right? And for some reason, Shedeur Sanders gets to where we are at 15, then it'll be, we'll be getting phone calls all day.
Somebody's coming to get him.
You know, I mean, right off the bat, I would think Pittsburgh would jump on that with 2 feet. So that's one of those mock drafts I did today. And again, it's pie in the sky, guys. But teams that are looking for a QB, you know, I mean, hey, Seattle got Sam Darnold. You tell me they wouldn't be interested in Shedeur Sanders? If he was there available just a few spots away. Point I'm getting to is I think you can trade down. If you're not going for offensive tackle and somebody covets one of those tackles, like, you know, we talked about all the big tackles that are sort of slotted where we're going to pick. Okay, maybe somebody really loves Omarion Hampton and is going to move up for him. Then we could come down and still get a Mikael Williams, potentially, a Mike Green. Now, again, you said it, bro. There's a risk. We've always moved forward in the draft. We've never come down.
Come down. And listen, needs are this. This isn't going to change between now and April 24th. It's edge, it's defensive tackle, it's corner. Okay? We need help in all of those areas. If I asked you to prioritize which one of those positions should be number one on the big whiteboard up at Flowery Branch, for me, it's one circled E, D, G,
right.
E. Okay? That's what I have on the big whiteboard. Everything else falls underneath that. But, Mike, they may be looking at this differently and saying, look, how does the best defensive tackle in this draft help us up front with the loss of Grady, or do they already have that guy on this team? Think about how they drafted last year and what happened. The guys that were playing in front of them, one, they made more money, but two, some of these guys weren't quite ready. The guy that was Rook Arora. He played. I said I liked what I saw from Rook, and I think he's going to be fine. But, Mike, if you feel like you have that already, this is the position you need to address along with corner. So maybe with our first pick and our second, that's what we're trying to do. I think all three of our first picks should be defense. That's just where I am.
No, man. And again, if you do trade down, because you guys know we lost a third-round pick. Look, we rolled the dice with Matthew Judon. It just didn't pan out. I don't fault them for that. We thought it was a good pick at the time. We also lose the fifth thanks to Kirk Cousins' big mouth and talking to the team about, what, 8 hours before he should be?
Yeah, but he ain't talking now. Why ain't he saying nothing now?
And the other thing I said to Carl is, what if Aaron Rodgers keeps monkeying around? And do the Steelers get to a point where they say enough's enough? And they then decide we'll roll with Jalen Miller. That seems a bit risky.
You think there's a cutoff date?
I don't know. I'm trying to read the tea leaves with the Steelers. The Steelers, like, their players are like, hey, enough is enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the owners kind of said we do want to move forward at some point with this. But I do think, you know, you've got to get, if you're the Vikings, I guess that ship has sailed. But if you're the Steelers, you've got to get this thing figured out. Because or then what? If Aaron Rodgers doesn't go there or he retires, then the only leverage between Cleveland is Pittsburgh, unless they go draft somebody. But maybe they want Kirk. Then Kirk will say, oh, no, I'm not going where you drafted a quarterback. I just went through that.
Yeah.
I want to go where I'm going to be the man. Good luck with that at age 37.
So what's interesting, and listen, I don't know if there's a cutoff date either, but it does make sense for them, we're talking about the Steelers, to know if he's in or out before the draft. You're right about that.
Right.
And here's the other part. If you're Aaron Rodgers, if you wait and then the Steelers draft a young player, and we've said this, more likely that guy's playing. It's cost prohibitive to sign Aaron to whatever it's going to be, right, and then say, oh, the young guy's not going to play. I don't think that's the case. If they do go that way, I think that guy's going to play, especially if it's in the first round, Mike, especially if it's 15, 12, 11, whatever it might be, wherever the Steelers might move from. Again, guys, moving from 20 to 3 is hard. Moving from 20 to 15 is not as hard.
Right. Now, we did that big move up, and that's why when we rolled for Julio in 2011, unfortunately, we lost when our offensive line got old. That's when we were jammed up because we missed, unfortunately, on subsequent line picks, and we just didn't have that volume of picks to get right. And one thing the Patriots did always show us, it's contact sport. The more shots you got, the better your odds. So we, unfortunately, then really did struggle. That's why a few years in the weeds, and we wound up with it was Alex Mack, right? It was 2012, and then we had 3 years of crap. And then, of course, 16, we got Alex Mack straightened out the middle of the offensive line with it a Super Bowl.
404-726-0929. You guys can chime in. Listen, Abdul Carter is considered to be the best edge rusher. He's probably going to be gone. But when you start talking about the difference between Shamar Stewart and Mike Green and Mikael Williams, these are the second, third, fourth best guys. Again, everybody's not drafting edge. Are you willing to pass that up, especially if we stay at 15? Or are you willing to take the risk to move down? And that is something that the Falcons are going to have to really consider, Mike. And by the way, I've been saying this. If you think there is a game changer, go get him. Let's not make excuses. If you're telling me, Mike, we've got to give up three picks to do it in a future, what are we waiting on? What do you guys want to wait till like 2030 until we make the playoffs again?
Hey, I said it to you before. I mean, if you're Terry Fontenot,
go
you, you might not get to use those picks next year anyway if you don't make the playoffs. So there's got to be that sense of urgency. You know, Arthur Blank, and I saw an interesting tweet, and I retweeted it today.
From Blank?
No, but it's, I did the Arthur Blank voice on the tweet because Daniel Jeremiah said, this maybe isn't a draft for stars, but there's a draft for starters.
I agree.
And he said, almost every team, if you do your research, you can get three or four starters, which gets us back to the joke we said in 2016. I need three starters, you nitwits, and we did. You know, not in any particular order, but Devondre Campbell, Keanu Neal, and Debo. These were the guys that we got, and we got three impact players as rookies.
I agree with that. And again, can we find some of these guys, even if it's late, Mike, that can come help us? That's the thing.
Right.
It has to be a productive draft for us. All right, we got plenty more to get to. We're live at Twin Peaks in Augusta, guys, getting ready for the Masters tomorrow. It's been a fun day up here, and it continues. We're going to talk about what is going on with our Hawks. And also, we're going to talk to Grant McCauley about the Braves here in about 20 minutes. Stay right
there. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There. started. The Hawks season is at the end. They've got three games left, and last night, unfortunately, they come up short again against Orlando. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, before we get to the Hawks, though, man, we got to give a big shout-out to one of our friends.
Thanks to Gordon. Thanks to Dave Holtz, guys. He's the CEO, COO, I should say, of Wheels Up. You see all the pros that have Wheels Up on their sleeves on tour. And, yeah, someday, Carl, we got to use Wheels Up and get out to Vegas.
Yeah.
But Dave is a big listener, and he lives down in my neck of the woods and loves Dukes and Bell and 92.9. He just brought us a nice little goodie bag of some really cool swag for Wheels Up.
They do a really good job, man. And for those who are not familiar, this is basically flying private. But everybody here, and I say everybody, I'm talking about all the golfers,
right?
On the PGA Tour, a lot of guys use this service, and obviously a lot of people that are coming into this event. He just told us they got about 150 flights that are coming in over the next day or so, and so they're going to be very, very busy, but they do a terrific job, and I know a bunch of folks that work with him and with Dave, and they're all just – it's an amazing company. So, anyways, he stopped by, and we want to give him a big shout-out. All right.
We're live at Twin Peaks here in Augusta. Great crowd, and, man, just what a perfect day, man. Watching the par three on TV. Some really cool moments.
Best.
You talked about Rory's lovely daughter, Poppy, and everybody going bananas.
Isn't
about
that
her
crazy?
Hitting the putt. So, yeah, it's been great. Thanks again to Dave. You're the man.
Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate you, brother.
Good to see you, man.
You got it.
Appreciate you. Yeah, I thought that was a cool moment. And it's on social media. I retweeted it, put them up, see Dukes. But let's talk about the Hawks here. 119-112. Paolo Banchero, listen, we had no answers. We had no answers.
You and I said
night.
It yesterday, man. Banchero, he's, you know, that's the kind of guy I need on this team, you know. And by the way, Double O's doing a great job, but it's just still, we need another, like, Frankenstein with bolts in his neck under the basket to help us in games like that and in the playoffs in the half court. But, yeah, but unfortunately, you know, Wagner, you mentioned, and Banchero, 55 points combined. A lot of turnovers, too, last night for the Hawks.
Yeah, that was part of the issue. Three games left in the regular season. You kind of have to win all three if you're going to, you know, to be in that seventh spot. But they've lost two of three to the Magic, and that's been part of the problem this season. Like, this is a team that we've had issues with. 18 turnovers last night, and you were, what, 14 of 41 from beyond the arc. They are at Brooklyn on Thursday. I'm talking about the Hawks, but let me hear Quinn Snyder talk about the defensive issues that happened.
There were some things where I thought we were giving them a little too much space to drive the ball. There's a fine line between, you know, being pressed up out on the floor and being too far back. I think sometimes when you know, you're not as solid in your pickup points, you give those guys a chance to kind of get downhill. And that's hard. That's when, you know, strength and size come into play even more and you put yourself in positions where, you know, you're susceptible to fouling.
As you said, we're going to see the Magic one more time. I don't know if that's a good thing. And if it stays static right now,
yeah,
and we stay at eight, then we go back to Orlando.
Finish the season with them. Yeah, it's the last game of the season. Yeah, I know.
And we'd have to start, you know, so we would play the winner of the Bulls Heat in Atlanta.
Right.
If we lose to the Magic.
To the Magic. They have a two-game lead over us, two-and-a-half game lead over the Bulls. So this is where we stand. The good news, and this is the positive thing, and I just saw somebody tweet at me and they said, Dukes, I'm so excited about next season. Well, first of all, let's finish this season.
Right.
Okay. But I do understand the optimism of a healthy Jalen Johnson with the production of some of the, you know, Caris LeVert and the bench production you've gotten.
Right.
A healthy, you know, Trey's been great all season. And then you say, okay, what do you add to this mix? But the benefit is, because of what's happened with Capella, Onyeka Okongwu, Mike, has gotten a lot of playing time. And because of it, he is developing. And remember we had this conversation, and Mike would say to me, what do you think about Okongwu? And I'd be like, he's coming. It's going to be all right. He just needs more playing time.
Right.
And he's
got it. And I always said he's hit his ceiling, and now his ceiling is – what did Michael Jordan say? The ceiling is the roof.
Roof. But last night at 30 points, 14 boards – but this is – he's been on this trajectory, guys, where he's improved the last part of this season. And if I were to go back, and we're not going to do it right now, and break down his last 15 games, you'd be like, really? Okongwu right. is averaging damn near a double-double every night. And so the issue for us is – and you heard Coach talk about this, and I'm going to play this – he just talked about the defensive issues. We don't have a true rim protector, Mike. So as much
that's,
as
– and that's what I want. I want you what I want, bro. The doofus with, like, no vowels in his name from, like, some country in the Balkans who can get out there. My name is Victor. Yeah. I get rebounds. I protect rim. That's what we need. That's what we're missing.
Because Okongwu had a great game last night, 30-14 and three steals. But, again, too many turnovers. Here's Quinn Snyder.
You know, I thought the second quarter, you know, we had some possessions where we really defended well, and we turned the ball over, and they made us pay on those. And those are big swings, because when we do guard and we have a chance to get out and maybe get something easy, and, you know, the flip side is we turn it over and then give up something, and now we're taking it out of the net. Those are tough plays.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, the game, if you didn't watch it, just say if you're watching just the Braves last night, I know the margin was just 7, but that was really late where the Magic's all of a sudden, you could have played the Benny Hill theme.
Yeah.
They just had to turn it over, and they really kind of succumbed. That's a good sign if we play them in the one play-in game that they'll gack it late. But unfortunately, as we said, too many turnovers. Trey with, you know, 28-10. See, when guys get on this team, and we talked to like some NBA guys earlier in the show, talked to Matt Moore, you know, he does his job. He needs that Scottie Pippen. He needs that guy. You know, his name is Jalen Johnson. He's not out there. So I don't know. Do you have any – has your expectations changed at all as far as the plan, other than Trey getting on a heater and taking over a game?
No. Look, I felt like, you know, Houston, because of the way they played defense, would ultimately win the tournament, and they almost did.
Right.
But the point for the NBA is, and this is why I love OKC, they're number one across the board in almost every defensive category. And people don't realize how good of a defender SGA is
Right. Individually,
right? We talk about Dyson Daniels. SGA is almost as good, and in some cases better, Mike. My point is, I don't know if we have enough defensively to not even move on out of the play-in, but even if we do,
right,
like that, and I know a 7-game series is a grind and it's different, and you might win a game, Mike, or win two, but yeah. We're not beating the Celtics or the Cavs in a 7-game.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way.
No, I mean, we always go back to that series when we had Zaza and Joe Johnson, and we took the Celtics to 7 games. But that was there was a physicality. It's
yes.
Funny because
yes.
What was that? That's 14 years ago? Right? Yeah, it's 2008.
Yeah, 2008. Yeah, 2008.
Wow, 17 years. We're getting old, man. Damn, Carl. But anyway, yeah, it's how long ago that was. But think how physical that series was compared to where the NBA is now. That's less than 20 years. Zaza was throwing elbows like razors. Garnett was crying like a baby in that thing. It was great. Fun to watch. I just don't think we can do that sort of thing today.
No, no. We don't have the personnel.
No.
Not this team, the way it's constructed, we don't. If you're just telling me we're trying to outscore somebody, okay, that we may be able to do that on any given night. We saw that a few nights ago against Milwaukee where we put up 145. But you're not going to do that in 7 games.
Right.
And then the other thing in a 7-game series, and I'm not being Mr. Negativity here, I'm just telling you guys, yeah. Every team in the league that we're going to play, especially in the East, is going to try to take Trey out of it because they know if they do that, now we got to rely on – we don't have Jalen, the other guy to go to say, hey, I need 30 from you tonight.
Right.
Where is that coming from? So every team that we may face is going to say, hey, Trey's great, and we're not going to allow him to beat us, but who else can do that?
Well, how do you think we got stuck with DeJounte Murray? You know, and lost all those first-round picks because they doubled Trey in that best of – we were trying to be four games to one against Miami. Well, that was the one where DeAndre had one of his better games. By the way, every time I see a highlight, he's above the rim. There's something good when they show a montage of Cleveland. Hunter is really – man, he's really fit with that team.
Yeah, I think –
but that team is loaded.
It is, but also his – yeah, there's no pressure. Real talk, there's no pressure.
No, and he's always been a guy that succumbed to it in the big moments.
Yeah, but
those droughts where he'd be the human turnover machine.
But that's a good fit. It was a good fit for him. He could have been traded somewhere else. That was a good fit to ask him to do what he does off the bench. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to talk some baseball with Grant coming up here in just a minute.
One last nugget. I didn't get to it in Guy Talk because I forget we started to ramble. We talked about Abe and his really, really strange drink that he left here.
Yeah, the energy drink.
Yeah, guys, by the way, are clowning Abe on social media. Abe was filling in for Andy Randy. He was drinking. It was called a rain sherbet. What's the color? Gordon, what's it say? Rainbow sherbet flavored total body fuel. I think you drink something like that, you wear leg warmers to work, Carl. But anyway, we talked about that last hour. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, you know.
I drink a lot of energy drinks. You know this.
Yeah, I've never seen this.
I've never seen this.
I mean, you got like a knight's helmet, but it's all in like in purple, green, and orange. Anyway, I digress. We didn't get to the story. The NBA can't be happy that Ja Morant has gone from doing the guns, and because again, a guy had a weapons situation with video, and people didn't think that was a great idea. Got suspended last year. Now he's gone. Carl, is a grenade toss okay?
Isn't that
I
worse?
I got to be honest. I mean,
isn't that worse?
It made me laugh at first, but when you know the background story, obviously he's probably he's kind of thumbing his nose at the NBA.
Yes, he
not
is.
That Adam Silver's going to do anything about it, but I mean, we see celebrations involving grenade tosses in the NFL. I think it's kind of funny.
It is. It is funny, and the crazy thing is, like, what's worse, doing the rat-a-tat-tat gun at the bench or?
Right.
Taking the pin out with your mouth and throwing it in the crowd and then explosion.
Yeah, and you're asking, if somebody asks you, the refs, I'm just giving a tribute to John Wayne or Audie Murphy or any of your favorite World War II movies.
All right, man, we're coming back. Grant's going to join us. Big win for the Braves. We'll see what they do tonight. They also made a move to go get a pitcher. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk to Grant McCauley, our Braves insider. He covers MLB for us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Big win for our Braves last night. And let's talk about Sean Murphy because he was the story, right? I mean, he comes back.
I believed in him the whole time, Carl.
He comes back. And Grant, he's the spark last night. And listen, I believe, and I've been saying this, I think he's going to be much better than he was last year. Okay, so is this the start of a great season for Sean Murphy?
Well, hopefully so, and I know that that was Sean's goal coming into spring training. There's just no two ways about what 2024 was for him, or more to the point, what it wasn't for him. And nobody was more aware of that than Sean Murphy, of the 2 months that he missed with the oblique, feeling like he was kind of behind the eight ball, and then saying back in spring training, he just never felt like he got right, even when he was feeling healthy and the oblique wasn't a problem anymore. And clearly we saw that in the, you know, the performance at the plate, which was lackluster to say the least. So the Braves believed in him big time, so much so that they felt like, okay, we've made the commitment to him in 6 years and, $73 million. He's got to be the guy behind the plate on a regular basis. As soon as they go that route and Travis d'Arnaud's option is declined and he goes to the Angels, well, of course, Sean Murphy, unfortunately, gets befallen by another injury. But he was able to get through all of that, and last night was just, I think, a gentle reminder that this guy does have some serious potential at the plate. He certainly has value behind the plate, and for the Braves to be where they want to be this year, Sean Murphy has, I think, an important role to play, and not just for 2025. Obviously, they believe in this guy enough to give him that six-year contract. So the Braves want to see the ROI, and Sean Murphy wants to get his career back on track. So last night, it was one game, but certainly a great first impression in 2025 for Sean.
Is there anything to be worried about or concerned, or just early and he's working through Cy Young Award winner? But Chris Sale has given up some runs so far.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot in the first couple of starts that have me concerned at all. As far as the Philly start was, or what it wasn't, I guess, it just didn't seem as crisp for him. I think that would probably be the word. The fastball was there at times, but kind of tapered down as he went on. But as I've talked about, Chris Sale knows his body better than anybody else. So if he was dealing with anything that he felt like was going to curtail his effectiveness, he's not going to take the ball and go out there. He's been through enough, I think, in his career that he knows that discretion is typically the better part of valor. But putting all of that aside, this is someone that I think early in the year maybe still just kind of working his way into that routine, and we can expect some bigger things from. But I do think for Braves fans, it's certainly, you can be validated to be nervous about some of these things because we've already seen what happened with Ronaldo Lopez. So it does give you a little bit of a pause. But as far as the jump to conclusions, Matt, is concerned, I wouldn't break that out just yet.
Okay. Who's the gentleman we've picked up from the Astros? What is his role going to be? How is he going to help our team, Grant?
Well, that is kind of a jury's out situation. I think this was a case of let's try another veteran reliever and see if there's anything there. The Astros obviously were motivated to get rid of him, to open up a roster spot, and they're going to be covering the freight for most of his $11.5 million salary. So Rafael Montero is the pitcher that the Braves picked up for cash considerations and a player to be named later. A great year in 2022. He was a big part of the Astros team that won the World Series, but the last couple of years have really been rough for him, especially 2024. His strikeout rate cratered, but looking at his early returns this year, fastball averaging 95-plus miles per hour. He's got a lot of swing-and-miss potential. If you look at the StatCast, values for him, it's somebody that they see some upside in, and they're getting somebody else to pay for it. So we'll see how long this, you know, factors into Atlanta's bullpen plans and, you know, what maybe they've found here. But you're always going out and trying to get a little bit more, I think, and just for the Braves, this is an option to maybe bring in another veteran, a hard-throwing guy that can help them out in some kind of situation, some way, shape, or form, as they try to get this bullpen really, I think, to a situation where it's just a lot more congealed. I think there's still some question marks out there, and that's pretty fair to say if we've watched this team over the first 9-10 games of the year.
Yeah. I loved him in Princess Bride.
No, it's a different
guy. There you
go. My name is Alfredo Montero. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That's a Montoyo. This is a Montero.
What's that? Please, Grant.
That
I know my movies.
Montoyo.
Anyway, please, Grant, please. It's Grant. Grant's with us, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Talking about the Braves and a big win last night. Just looking for, you know, a sign. We said earlier, Grant, that, you know, the Dodgers, after looking like the best team on the planet, they've lost a couple of games. So, as you pointed out, it is a long season. But things we're looking for now, it's the other guys. Because we know what we're going to get from Chris Sale. We know what we're going to get from Schwellenbach. Hopefully, we're going to get more from Schwellenbach. Can the bottom part of the rotation hold the line, you know, for another week or two? I know you mentioned it last week for guys who missed it. Strider returns next week?
Yeah. Yeah, so you get Spencer Strider back, and whether or not he plays the role of the Dread Pirate Roberts or whatever the case may be, as far as Princess Bride, you know, jokes are concerned, I do think that this is a rotation that, even without Reynaldo Lopez, could still have some high talent, you know, high octane arms that are giving the Braves what they need. They need health first and foremost. We talked a little bit about it with Sale, but more so we're talking about it for Spencer Strider, who looks great his last time out. 5 1/3 hitless innings, 8 strikeouts. He wasn't necessarily ready to say, all right, everything's all the way back, but he's got one more tomorrow. He should have eclipsed 90 pitches, at least that's the plan, unless he's just way more effective and throws 7 innings. I think you'll take that outcome as well. And maybe that next turn in rotation will come in 5 or 6 days for the Braves at the big league level. But let's not bury the lead on the start of the season for Braves pitchers in general. Spencer Schwellenbach has, I feel like, moved front and center of everyone's mind. And that's saying a lot when you think about Chris Sale had a triple crown, won a Cy Young last year. Spencer Strider is who he is. But people are buzzing in the industry and around baseball about what Spencer Schwellenbach is, what he's become in a very short amount of time, and how he has done it, going from a college shortstop slash closer who immediately had to have Tommy John upon being drafted and finds himself at the big leagues with a 6-pitch mix that is as good as you're going to find of any pitcher of any age with any amount of experience. So, long story short, I think this can still be a good rotation, but they need some performance. They obviously need some health to get that thing done.
Yeah, it's interesting the background you just gave about Swelly and
right
how where he is right now. I don't even know if most of our listeners, you know that history, but the point is, guys, he's had to grind to get here. He's had to grind to get here, and I think that's paid off for him in his preparation. All right, what about tonight, Grant? Grant Holmes, it'd be great because we just beat Wheeler. It'd be great to get two in a row on these guys. Does it get any easier for us tonight taking on Walker?
No, well, Taijuan Walker is clearly not the strong suit of that Phillies rotation, which is a very good one. And we're going to see Jesus Luzardo and Spencer Schwellenbach in the finale tomorrow, but we'll get to that later. This is really, I feel like, a good matchup for Grant Holmes. It's going to be a tough lineup, don't get me wrong. The Phillies showed last night what they did to Chris Sale. They can jump on a good pitcher early and pile up a lead. But if he's attacking the zone the way that he has, I think that Grant Holmes has a chance to kind of get himself on track. Clearly, the Dodgers were a tough assignment first time out, but this is a guy that showed us last year in a variety of different roles. It wasn't smoke and mirrors. He's got a good mid-90s fastball, a great breaking curveball. I just feel like, you know, there's value there. Is it going to be in the starting rotation all year long? I don't know, but it was certainly worth and is worth finding out what he could offer you there, especially now that you have the question of Reynaldo Lopez not being around for several months at the very least. So we'll see what he's able to do with this opportunity. I know he's excited about it. He's a very soft-spoken, very humble gentleman, but I think that arm speaks volumes when he's out there. So hopefully he can give the Braves the kind of performance they need, and the bats can do the kind of stuff they did last night, clutch hitting, manufacturing runs. We had sacrifice bunts. We had guys who decided not to catch fly balls for the Phillies. They'll take that again. Charity, whatever the case may be. But I do feel like the Braves offense, sometimes a night like that will just get you going, get your confidence up, and you'll start feeling like, okay, maybe we are back on track. And that can obviously have an effect on a team that's gone through the lull here early that the Braves did with runners in scoring position.
It is GMAC, Grant McCauley with his guys who are live from Augusta here at Twin Peaks for the Masters. And again, the Braves, I thought last night, taking advantage of some of the Philly mistakes. Real Muto was really having a bad night behind the dish. And it was Austin Riley got an advantage of one of the double one he earned. Austin, real quick, Grant, because you're in the clubhouse, you're speaking to these guys, especially down in spring training. Is Austin as laid back, or just is this just kind of a soft country boy? Because we were talking about, like, who's the voice in that clubhouse? You know, not that, you know, hopefully they're turning things around, but is he a guy that's cool with that role if it does fall on his shoulders?
I think that he is, and there's something to be said for the timing. I mean, because I don't know about you, but sometimes even if you know something's going, you know, isn't going the way that you want it to, and you just keep hearing it from the same people over and over again, but it doesn't really affect you, or you don't really feel like they're connected enough, you start to kind of tune that stuff out. And I'm not saying that that's happening on a regular basis. I'm just kind of speaking from my life experience. It's got to be the right person, I think, at the right time in a lot of cases. And that's a clubhouse that, yes, it has had some leaders in the past that I think may have seemed a little more front and center, like a Freddie Freeman, who early in his career, I don't think he wanted that mantle at all. And that's from being around Freddie. And I think he would probably say that, but he grew into it. And I think that that's the opportunity that, you know, Austin Riley, that Matt Olson, that Sean Murphy, that, you know, Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr., all these guys. I mean, and nothing against the Chris Sales and the Spencer Striders. Those are guys that take the ball every fifth day. But from the regular everyday guys that are in the trenches with you, Michael Harris, that's another one to throw out there. They are going to become voices in that clubhouse. There doesn't have to be one overriding, but there does need to be accountability one to another. And I don't think that that is a problem. Even if the results aren't there, it doesn't mean that the effort's in question. And I do think that Austin Riley, to come all the way back and try to answer your question, he may seem soft-spoken, but this is a competitive, hard-working guy with a lot of accountability. And what he said, like about a week ago after that game, where he was really just taking it on the chin about, man, this is just, I'm not where I need to be. This isn't acceptable. This isn't working. There's some self-realization there and some accountability that I think is an important part of what they're doing. But it's also, I think, key to not get lost in the bad times and let those compound. And I think that's something that the Braves were really smacked around with on that road trip to start the season and obviously this slow start to the year.
Great stuff, Grant. Let's see what the Bravos can do tonight. We'll talk more about the lineup coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Grant, thanks again. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it.
Reminder, guys, it is Masters Week. Mike and I are here in Augusta, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your source for the best coverage of Georgia golf. Guys, join us daily for live interviews and analysis, and each night of the tournament, Westwood One wraps up all of the action at 11 p.m. Masters coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is brought to you by Twin Peaks, also by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local financial fiduciary, and by Umberto Injury Law. When it's game time and winning is the only option. Also by the Georgia Hemp Company. Come check out their new locations. The Masters all week long here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, man. Speaking of the Masters, I found this great photo today on Twitter after Rory shows her how to do it. But there's a Twitter account called TorPro. I came across this photo. I showed it to Carl. Now, for guys who don't know, Arnold Palmer was kind of the Tiger Woods before Tiger. He was a guy, even though Ben Hogan existed, Arnie really brought a generation of, like, you know, the sort of like the baby boomers and the post-World War II vets, those guys into golf. Cool guy. You see a lot of photos of, like, Arnold, the one famous shot of him with Ben Hogan. They both got cigarettes in their mouth, but you see guys smoking on. For you kids at home, smoking's not cool, even though it does kind of look cool in some of those photos. But anyway, I came across a photo of Jack Nicklaus. He was always kind of, you know, a little bit closer to the vest, a little more reserved. But I showed this to Carl. It's Jack Nicklaus wearing a pair of, like, of Wayfarers in his Masters jacket, smoking a cigarette, literally looking like, I don't know, like a mob boss.
He is.
It's the coolest picture of Jack Nicklaus I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, I agree. Because we don't see him like that.
Right. So anyway, I just put it up there to Mike Bell ATL. You can scroll down, follow Carl at Put Him Up C Dukes. But it's just something I found today that I was like, wow, that's pretty neat. Very un-Jack-like, actually, if you know his history.
Yeah. All right, man, coming up, our drive up here. What did we encounter? And why is it some of you need to go back to driving school? We'll tell you all about it coming up in the 6 o'clock hour and a great draft conversation with a guy who says, if you want it, it'll be there for you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.